So functional medicine, we look at the root cause of why someone has a chronic disease or illness, and we dive much deeper in looking at not only lifestyle, which is the fundamental basis of it. So looking at sleep, nutrition, exercise, relationships, and then trying to see if there's other environmental toxins, genetic underpinnings that could be making the patient ill at that moment, and then look back to see, because we always find that it's compounded. I always find there's so multiple. It's not just one thing typically. And so we see a lot of autoimmune diseases, a lot of gastrointestinal diseases. But a lot of times it could have been trauma earlier in someone's life. And then studies are now showing early trauma is increasing the risk of autoimmune diseases later in life. So what we're doing is really diving much deeper. And we call it a different lens than what I might have done when I was an internist.
You're listening to episode number 109 with Dr. Elizabeth Bradley. Have you tried out Thrive Market yet? If not, you are definitely missing out. What are you waiting for? Thrive Market is an online marketplace on a mission to make healthy living easy and affordable for everyone. It allows you to shop for thousands of the best-selling non-GMO foods and natural products, always at 25 to 50% below retail prices. But as a Pursuing Health listener, you'll receive an additional 25% off your first purchase, plus a free 30-day trial if you visit www.thrivemarket.com/PH. My husband Danny and I shop for our staple grocery items using Thrive Market. Things like nut butters, cooking oils, snacks, dressings, coffee and tea, personal care products, eco-friendly cleaning supplies, and non-toxic beauty products. It has helped us to stay on track with our busy schedules during medical training, and we know all their products are coming from a curated list that we can trust. So, no matter what you're looking for, whether it's paleo, vegan, ketogenic, gluten-free, non-GMO, fair trade certified, or any of 80 plus other types of products, you can easily find them on the Thrive Market platform at prices 25 to 50% below retail. Even better, these items are shipped straight to your doorstep, so you don't have to worry about the time or hassle of grocery shopping. Thrive Market's mission is to make healthy living easy and approachable to everyone, and this aligns perfectly with my own personal mission and that of Pursuing Health. Because it has been such a lifesaver for me, I wanted to share the benefits of Thrive Market with all of you, and they've responded with an amazing offer. So head to www.thrivemarket.com/PH to receive 25% off your first purchase plus a free 30-day trial. Again, this is on top of their already 25 to 50% below retail prices. So why not try it out and do your grocery shopping from home this week? I hope you can take advantage of this offer and enjoy their service as much as I have. Once again, that website is thrivemarket.com/PH to learn more. No discount code is necessary. Just shop around and the discount will be applied at checkout. This episode is brought to you by Siete Foods. You know when you meet a group of people who are just so genuine that you can't help but treat them like old friends or family? Well, that's how I felt when meeting the Garza family, the founders of Siete Foods. Siete is a healthy Mexican-American food brand that makes grain-free and paleo-friendly tortillas and tortilla chips, as well as quesos and hot sauce. My husband and his family first met the Garzas at Paleo FX several years ago, and they had an instant connection, and we've kept in touch ever since. Maybe it's their powerful origin story that makes them so relatable. Veronica Garza was facing a series of major health challenges as a teenager, and her entire family of seven jumped on board to help. Together, they adopted a low-inflammation, grain-free diet. But as a Mexican-American family living in South Texas, they couldn't imagine life without tortillas, and it wasn't long before Veronica came up with a delicious solution and Siete Foods was born. After years of enjoying their delicious, grain-free, dairy-free, and paleo-friendly tortillas, tortilla chips, queso, and hot sauces, I finally had the chance to meet the Garzas in person, and they immediately made me feel like a member of the family. Their passion for making the world a healthier place is contagious, and their generosity spreads to everyone they touch. I'm so excited to have Siete Foods as a sponsor of this episode, and if you're not already a fan of their products, I promise you will be after you try them. You can purchase Siete products online and in stores across the U.S. They've provided an exclusive discount code for Pursuing Health listeners. Just use the code JULIE19 to receive 10% off any online order. Again, their website is sietefoods.com. That's SIETEFOODS.com. And you can use code JULIE19 for 10% off. Welcome to Pursuing Health. I'm Julie Fouché, family medicine resident and former CrossFit Games athlete. Here, I bring to you information and inspiration from experts and everyday individuals for how to use lifestyle to maximize health. Thank you so much for joining me. Now let's get started with this week's episode. Hey there, and welcome back to Pursuing Health. I'm really excited to be joined by Dr. Elizabeth Bradley on this episode, who is the current medical director of the Cleveland Clinic's Center for Functional Medicine. Now, if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you may recall one of my very first podcast episodes, number 7, with Dr. Mark Hyman, who brought functional medicine to the Cleveland Clinic back in 2014. I recently completed an elective rotation there as a resident, and it was amazing to see how the center has continued to grow and evolve over the past 5 years. Now, Dr. Bradley has served as the medical director of the Center for Functional Medicine for almost 2 years now, and she's really thriving in her role. She brought with her to this position a wealth of experience as a former dietitian, 20 years of experience as a general internist, and experience as an Institute for Functional Medicine certified practitioner who practiced functional medicine in a traditional academic primary care setting. Now, Dr. Bradley completed her undergraduate degree in nutrition from Cornell University, and she then pursued a master's in nutrition from Tufts University before working as a clinical dietitian at Massachusetts General Hospital for 6 years. It was at that time that she decided to pursue further training to become a physician. So she went on to earn her medical degree and complete residency training in internal medicine at Dartmouth Hitchcock Medical Center, where she then stayed on as a general internist, and she served as a medical director for the 10 years prior to moving to Cleveland. In our conversation, Dr. Bradley and I chat about all things functional medicine, from how her own career path led her to where she is today, how the Center for Functional Medicine has evolved over the past 5 years, and its role in bringing a functional medicine approach to the mainstream through clinical practice, education, and research, and how interested practitioners and patients can become involved in taking this new approach. This was a really fun conversation, and it gives you a little peek into what's happening on the forefront of functional medicine at the Cleveland Clinic. A few quick reminders before we get started. First, this episode is produced by CrossFit Beyond the Whiteboard, the best workout tracking in the biz and the one I've been using since 2009. You can learn more at beyondthewhiteboard.com. Next, if you're enjoying the podcast, please head over to iTunes to subscribe and consider giving it a rating. It really does make a difference and it helps to get these episodes out to more listeners. I'm also always looking for inspiring stories to share. So if you or someone you know has used lifestyle to overcome a serious health challenge, please send your story to me at info@juliefouché.com. Finally, please remember that although I am now officially a doctor, this podcast is meant to share the experiences of individuals and does not provide medical advice. So with that, we'll get started with episode number 109 of Pursuing Health featuring Dr. Elizabeth Bradley. Welcome to Pursuing Health. I'm really excited to be here with Dr. Elizabeth Bradley, the medical director of the Cleveland Clinic's Center for Functional Medicine. So thank you for joining me.
Well, I'm delighted.
I'm super excited to talk about the center, but I thought maybe we could start with a little bit of your background.
Sure.
So maybe if you could start off by telling us a little bit about where you grew up, what you were into as a kid, and then what sort of led you towards nutrition.
Okay. So I was born in New York and then actually grew up in Rhode Island. And then my parents moved me my senior year back to New York, which was a very difficult process. But what I tried to do, I kept think of it as like a little junior college year.
Okay.
And it actually gave me the opportunity to go to Cornell for nutrition.
Oh.
And I don't think I would have applied to Cornell because I was living in Rhode Island and I was looking at Simmons. There was only so many schools that offered nutrition.
Interesting.
And I always had a love of cooking and food. And actually, I have to owe it to my mom. She just said, well, why don't you look at nutrition? So that was pretty progressive back in the 70s.
Oh, wow.
A long time ago.
Okay.
So started in nutrition and then after college ended up getting my master's at Tufts, the Friedman School of Nutrition. And that was back in the era when Jean Maier, who was the president of Tufts, is a renowned nutritionist.
Okay.
And it was awesome to be at a college where the president of the college is a nutritionist. And then this is a new school that they had developed. So I ended up getting an it was an RD internship and master's in Tufts New England Medical Center and Tufts in University of Medford.
And did you always think that you wanted to work directly with patients, or did you not know when you started?
Okay. Always. And it was funny because the minute I started my first job, I wanted outpatient nutrition counseling. Mm-hmm. So that's what I started. And then progressed to, actually was asked to be part of, they had a new eating disorders consultation team and was asked to join that. So once again, those were very complex patients. And we were part of a larger team of multidisciplinary people at that time. So, but then it got to the point where I wanted to take care of more of the patient and then more of the patient. And I kept thinking, you know, do I go to med school or do I not? Do I get a PhD and just work more on the intellectual kind of study part of nutrition? And that's when I dove in and decided to go to med school.
Oh, wow. And so how many years were you in practice as a dietitian before that?
So I was 6 years out.
6 years. Yeah. Okay. And where were you at in life at that point when you decided to go to med school? Were
Living in Boston.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was working at Mass General.
Okay.
And ended up going to Dartmouth for med school. And then it became even more complicated with having family and children.
Yeah. So did you already have kids before you started at med school or no? Okay.
Got married my third year of med school. I had my son after my fourth year.
Okay.
Then had my daughter in my internship.
Oh my gosh.
And ended up doing internal medicine.
Wow. That is amazing.
It was busy.
I can't even imagine. I mean, I know I have plenty of friends who are having kids in residency, but I don't know. My husband and I just keep saying, well, just one more year, we'll just wait.
And it's, you know, it's always busy. Even when you work, it's busy.
It's never going to be a good time. Exactly. But that's very impressive. Fourth year and intern year of residency. Wow. So when you went to med school, did you know then you wanted to do sort of internal medicine, outpatient setting, or not so much?
It was actually, I thought pediatrics I first started. And then I think it wasn't till I started doing more of medicine that I actually thought, you know, I want to take care of the whole patient. And I just could not hurt the babies. Yeah. I just could not put needles in their little bodies. And then I just said, at least I can talk to an adult and reason with them,
explain why you're doing this.
Exactly. So I said, because the disease states are different, but parallel. So then I was like, okay, now I'm going to go into internal medicine. And I was happy. I like taking care of the whole patient and being the physician for the patients. But then use nutrition throughout my whole. So patients always felt like they got two for one. Like, I mean, I could talk to you about my diet and my health. And so that was always part of my practice, even like back then.
And what was it like for you? I mean, this is a topic that is talked about a lot now, but what was it like for you going through med school with the knowledge that you already had of nutrition?
It was easier.
Yeah.
Like GI was easier. I got it. You know, I was able to apply so much of nutrition into so many disciplines, endocrinology, with the diabetes and the weight and nutritional aspects. So for me, it was just, it was so much fun because I had seen so many patients with illnesses, so I could apply exact people that I knew. So that
you
it
already
was,
had
it
that made, clinical context.
Made sense.
That does make sense.
Yeah.
Was it frustrating how little nutrition was talked about, or was it, I mean, I guess since you already had the understanding, you had that background.
Haven't had the background. I didn't know how little the people didn't know.
Yeah.
At that point. And what was frustrated is they only focus on the inpatient TPN, which is important, but there's a whole other aspect that people don't even know, you know, of the whole outpatient part. And I think one of the goals I had always said is I would love to teach nutrition in medical school someday.
Oh, yes. Let's make that happen.
Well, we did.
It was so interesting because I saw, well, when I was in med school, they had just started the committee to kind of look at our nutrition curriculum. And then I saw recently that there was a publication about kind of some of the changes that had been made. And I know that obviously they're very progressive at Lerner and trying to incorporate it. But It was interesting. There was the, I don't know if you saw it last week, there was a JAMA Viewpoint article about nutrition education in med school. I think Walter Willett was one of the authors, but it was a very short sort of viewpoint about why we urgently need to increase our nutrition education in medical schools. And it's just, it's interesting how slow we are to catch on to the fact
because there was
that,
a similar one not yeah. long ago saying, why not, you know, put that instead of, because they're all, everyone's vying for time
right.
in medical school curriculum,
right.
but then saying, do we need to have so much of, oh, just pick another, I don't want to say biochemistry because that's important to
right.
functional medicine.
Right, it's all important. That's the hard part, right? Is it, there's so much now. We know so much that,
yes.
you know, you could spend 10 years in medical school and still not learn everything. So
that's so true.
Yeah. But obviously, nutrition is so foundational. We think it's it should be included.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So after residency, what type of setting did you practice in as an internist?
Continued outpatient. So okay. The only inpatient I did was occasionally having to go and round on weekends, mm-hmm. but it was strictly 100% outpatient.
Okay.
Internal medicine. Yeah.
Awesome. And then I know you took on some leadership positions at Dartmouth as well.
Yep. So I was running a clinic there mm-hmm. and was the medical director at this clinic in was part of Dartmouth Hitchcock. It was mm-hmm. in Lyme, New Hampshire. And ironically, we did take care of Lyme patients, but people called up thinking we were Lyme specialists. But it was actually earlier than that. I was in Connecticut when I actually did see a lot of Lyme patients. And I remember one patient of mine gave me a book. Mm-hmm. And this book was written by Jeffrey Bland.
Oh.
And that's before functional medicine even had a name. And it was his book on detoxifying.
Interesting.
And I remember reading it going, this guy's into, he's on to something.
Yeah.
And that was my first parlay into what the field now is called functional okay. medicine. But then got caught up in just my allopathic medicine mm-hmm. and doing, taking care of patients and family and children mm-hmm. and husband mm-hmm. and went back up to Dartmouth, and that's when I started teaching with the med students and okay. residents and using more and more of nutrition. And that's when I found about functional medicine, started taking some of the courses in okay. it, you know, the modules. And then that's when I realized, oh my goodness, this finally is exactly what I wish they had a residency
sense.
In this 20 years before.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's so true. That's exactly how I felt the first time that I sort of heard the whole thing laid out in front of me. I said, wow, this is what I've been looking for.
And for me, it was tools because I know so mm-hmm. much of the information. It's like, oh my goodness, like they actually have like all the diets.
Right.
They have all the stuff that I could apply for my patients. And I started like immediately and it was so much fun.
Wow.
And patients were so receptive, even mm-hmm. though I didn't have to use the word functional medicine. I said, would you like to try something mm-hmm. different? And they'd be like, sure. Yeah.
That's
and it
awesome.
Worked. And so yes. then they were like, oh,
okay, let's keep doing
yeah,
this.
Yeah.
How did you first then, you mentioned the book with Dr. Bland.
Yeah.
But how did you first then come around to finding what is now called functional medicine or getting into the actual training?
So it was interesting because it was actually a colleague of mine who was who's a medical student with me.
Okay.
She was an OBGYN and she had gone to Bethany Hayes. A lecture in OBGYN okay. and she came back and she just started telling me about this this whole field
mm-hmm.
and I went, what is she talking about? What's functional medicine? And then I started doing my own research and I went, then that's like just like it just took off from there. You know, it's funny because people say, well, did you have an illness? Did you have something that prompted you to go
right.
into it? And I was thinking about that earlier and I thought I've had an illness, but I didn't No functional. I actually had liver cancer, bile duct cancer.
Oh, wow.
When I was 45. It was
no
pretty
way.
Serious. And
yeah.
But it was a surgical cure. Mm-hmm. But I didn't find functional medicine for that because mm-hmm. as my husband said, you were already drinking green drinks and doing those crazy things
before you found it.
I know. And trying to eat healthy and exercising
right.
and yoga. So I've always been doing that. Yeah.
So it made sense that once you found
it was a natural progression.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm saying it's sort of like, oh, now there's an actual right. study of the stuff that
right.
we were, the interest that was, we were applying back then.
And yeah. for people listening, I think many people who are listening know what functional medicine is, but for those that don't, could you just explain sort of a general overview of what it is and then what it was that appealed to you about it when you finally found it?
So functional medicine, we look at the root cause of why someone has a chronic disease or illness. And we dive much deeper in looking at not only lifestyle, which is the fundamental basis of it. So looking at sleep, nutrition, exercise, relationships, and then trying to see if there's other environmental toxins, genetic underpinnings that could be making the patient ill at that moment, and then look back to see, because we always find that it's compounded. I always find there's so multiple. It's not just one thing typically. Mm-hmm. And so we see a lot of autoimmune diseases, a lot of gastrointestinal diseases. But a lot of times it could have been trauma earlier in someone's life. And then studies are now showing early trauma is increasing the risk of autoimmune diseases later in life. Mm-hmm. So what we're doing is really diving much deeper. And we call it a different lens than what I might have done when I was an internist. Mm-hmm. And then what's exciting is it's so much fun because I've been here a little over a year and a half. And like now a year later, people are coming back and they're like better. And I said, you mean you can like leave? Like functional like better? Leave us? They're like, I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, sort of like they graduated and they're better. Right. And it was exciting. And then you have others that really have chronic illnesses that they need a lot more time. And it takes time. So it's not as simple as taking a pill. Right. I just explained that to someone today about using sort of like your curcumin and boswellia and quercetin, you know, for anti-inflammation. I said, yes, you could take an ibuprofen and it'll work within an hour, but this may take a month or two.
Yeah.
And so things are slower. Things take longer, but then the whole process is allowing the body to get back to clinical balance and heal itself and using nutrition really as a basis.
Mm-hmm. It's so interesting. I think of a lot of parallels because in, you know, a lot of people listening and myself obviously are in the world of CrossFit. And I think of a lot of parallels between CrossFit and functional medicine. And one of them is that sort of aha moment when you first hear about it. And I had a very similar feeling when I first heard about CrossFit or went to the CrossFit seminar where they laid out the whole philosophy for me, as I did when I first heard about functional medicine, because neither of them are necessarily brand new concepts. They're all, you know, functional medicine is just good medicine. And it's based on these principles that have been around forever, but it's a system. Like you said, it's a lens that allows you to actually put this into practice and help make positive change for patients. And the same thing for CrossFit, where they didn't invent exercise, but they packaged it in such a way and then it makes sense that it's very effective and is helping people. And so I draw a lot of parallels between those. But I felt the same way when I first heard about functional medicine, that it really, you know, there was all these little pieces that I knew to be true, but there was nothing that really tied it all together. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think functional medicine does a really good job of.
And I think people have to remember that it's not voodoo science. It's not this strange kind of thing that's out there. You're actually applying all principles of basic healthy prevention, you know, with in terms of nutrition, sleep, eating, taking care of yourself.
Right.
And we don't give ourselves permission a lot of times to take care of ourselves.
It's so true.
Yeah.
So true. So then when you were first implementing this in your practice, so I'm guessing you had a typical outpatient practice, not very long, pretty short visits relative to what you have now. How did you start to implement functional medicine in a
really
traditional outpatient practice?
Because it was hard. So what I tried to do is see patients at the end of my lunch, like just the beginning of my lunch hour at the end of the day. And I put new patients on typically at the end of the day because they took so much longer. Mm-hmm. And because once you become certified, your name gets in the Institute of Functional Medicine directory, your patients find you. So I had patients from Vermont, all over New Hampshire coming. And so there weren't that many, there's probably more now, but there weren't that many certified functional medicine practitioners for adults. I mean, there might've been some for pediatrics or for, you know, gynecology. And so it was hard because I was also the limitations of a large academic institution. Yeah. So I had to definitely work within the constraints that I could have mm-hmm. with the patients. But we were able to do it because a lot of it was starting basic.
Right.
Really basic.
The lifestyle.
Lifestyle. Yeah. But having the time to dig deeper and find mm-hmm. out what are their points that they needed to work on for each person and make it individualized right. enough for everyone.
And even having that time to spend to talk to people about it and to go through their timeline and to understand why these roots are so important, then they get some buy-in to actually mm-hmm. make those changes and put in the hard work.
And the people were motivated. That's what I found, that there's mm-hmm. a different person that comes to functional medicine. Mm-hmm. They have either exhausted the traditional medicine or they are just looking for something else and more. And I always call it, we are adjunctive mm-hmm. to the care that they're getting here. But they're definitely motivated. Mm-hmm. They've already read every book. They've already listened to every podcast.
Right. Right. They're the best patients.
Yeah, they are the best because they come in and they've already.
Right.
I don't have to sell them.
Right.
Like, I don't have to tell them what it's all about.
Right.
It's good.
That's good. So eventually then you came here to Cleveland in 2017. Mm-hmm. But I want to talk a little bit too about the leadership positions that you had before you came and kind of what helped you to do well in those leadership positions and to gain them and why, you know, some of the challenges that you might have had mm-hmm. there that then helped you as you've transitioned over here to Cleveland.
So when I was at Dartmouth, I was head of their clinic for 10 years. So it's actually quite a long time. And we were the most desirable clinic because we had the longest standing physicians, okay. support staff. People loved working there. People loved coming. It was actually mm-hmm. a community mm-hmm. clinic. And I think the hospital administration was very supportive of keeping the clinic going. And when you live in a rural town, there's only 1,800 people in the town.
Wow.
You know everyone. Mm-hmm. I mean, I go to the town dump. They know
if you go
to
see your patients right in the grocery store.
So it's a very small community. Okay. And so we went through a lot of changes, though. So I went through the changes back when medicine was in RVUs and mm-hmm. you had to have relative value mm-hmm. units. And then we went to ACO mm-hmm. and changing how we do medicine. So those were challenging times.
Yeah.
But it was actually exciting because there were a lot of positive things we were able to bring to the clinic for the patients mm-hmm. just to make their health better, but also access better for people because people want more of their physician, mm-hmm. especially with time being limited. Though they were still very generous back there mm-hmm. in at Dartmouth, it was every 20 minutes and so, okay. and 40 minutes for a physical mm-hmm. and a 60 minutes for a new patient. So you actually had time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the challenges probably came more when they were trying to shift the leadership with having us combined with family mm-hmm. medicine. And okay. some of the internists were not used to having maybe a family medicine doctor be their boss.
Okay.
And that was maybe above me.
Mm-hmm.
And I had worked in clinics where there had been family medicine, there had been PAs who had done both. Mm-hmm. So I was very comfortable mm-hmm. with the mixing of mm-hmm. different professions mm-hmm. of taking care of the same people.
Yes.
Yeah. It's funny. Like the territory that
yes.
happens. Yeah.
Yes.
So that was a little rocky for a while. And one leader left and then another leader came in. So we had definitely a lot of shifting leadership for a while. But our clinic stayed the same. So for some reason, I think we felt slightly isolated mm-hmm. in a good way.
Yeah. You're kind of protected.
Very protected, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then you're practicing, doing functional medicine with your patients there. How on earth did you end up in Cleveland?
So this is such a funny story. I've been coming to Ohio for 30-something years. I got okay. married in Ohio.
Oh, right.
So I had
you have some connections.
Two sisters that married two brothers, mm-hmm. and they lived here. Then my parents moved here.
Okay.
And then my sister still has a house here. So I've been, as a matter of fact, when I was in college, I would take the bus to Ohio from New York
oh.
to have holidays because a lot of times okay. we would come here. So it's been a funny, I never thought I'd end yeah. up in Ohio. So when the position opened up, I just actually looked at it and I thought, oh my goodness. You know, they wanted someone who had academic experience. They wanted mm-hmm. someone with functional medicine experience, someone who had been leadership experience. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I feel like I have everything. Yeah. This is perfect. Yeah. And I looked at my husband. I said, I'm ready for a change. Both my children had graduated from college. Okay. It was that time in our lives where there was a little bit more freedom. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'm going to apply and just, yeah, you know, see what it was. But I actually was thinking of it in a bigger way. Like, I wanted to help bring this whole movement, mm-hmm, forward. Mm-hmm. Wanted to really push functional medicine in an academic institution, because we can do it here.
Yeah.
It's opening up for so many other hospitals and people and places, and it's actually allowing functional medicine to be accessible to so many people, because, mm-hmm, we're insurance-based versus, mm-hmm, cash. Mm-hmm. So that's a huge thing.
Yeah. Had you tried that where you were, to try to share functional medicine with your coworkers or with other departments?
And sure, how did, yeah, that go? Well, I actually even went up to the head administration and, okay, and wanted to try to get functional medicine. Part, yeah, of, they were developing a wellness center and they weren't ready yet. Mm-hmm. They financially could not support it. Mm-hmm. So I knew it was not going to work there.
Yeah.
And I think with coming here, there's been such a welcoming of patients who want it that mm-hmm, the administration even here could not ignore how much demand there is. Mm-hmm. And so the colleagues, when I was at Dartmouth, they first just raised their eyebrows because they had no idea what I was doing. But they knew I was a nutritionist, so, mm-hmm, they knew that I was a good internist. Mm-hmm. So they trusted, right, what I was doing. And then they actually just started referring, mm, because there were patients that said, well, can I see Dr. Bradley for functional medicine? Yeah. And so that became a way where also internally, at least in my clinic, that people were comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. And but it never really got much further and infiltrated the major, I don't think, hospital, because by then I had left.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And came here. So now that's my job here.
So now that's what we're working on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And had you followed much prior to that? Had you followed much of what was happening here when the center opened? It had been open for a couple of years, and mm-hmm, they've obviously have the partnership with IFM. But had you been kind of following what was going on and been thinking about it even before that job posted, or
before they actually posted the job, they had been asking for,
okay,
you know, physicians to come and work, and right, I thought, well, that's what I'm doing. Like, I don't need,
right,
to,
it wouldn't be so different,
leave, mm-hmm, for that. And and then when the medical director position opened, I said, you know what?
That makes more sense.
This is like really doing functional medicine 100%, but also bringing that whole next level, mm-hmm, and bringing it out in the forefront. Mm-hmm. And so I think that was enough just to, you know, want me to join on the bandwagon and help them here.
Definitely. Definitely. And so how do you think here now, I guess we're what, 4.5 years, almost 5 years since it's been open. Going into the fifth year. How has the center evolved over, mm-hmm, those 5 years, and kind of where are we at now in terms of that mission that you're talking about?
Sure. I mean, in the very beginning, I don't know if you saw the, were they the first,
yes,
location?
Yes.
It was tiny. It only had a couple of doctors and, yes, one nutritionist, and it was tiny, but it was, and they were busy. They were, mm-hmm, so, 'cause the demand was
busy.
So,
yes,
enormous.
The wait list was just crazy.
3,000, yeah, plus, I mean, if not more. And they started some randomized controlled trials, and they've been doing research, and it's just expanded from like 2 physicians to like now we have 11 providers,
wow,
which includes APPs, mm-hmm, and physicians, and 6 nutritionists and health coaches. So it's really expanded to our new space here, mm-hmm, 1,700 square feet,
yeah,
absolutely
beautiful.
Gorgeous and beautiful, yeah. And we've really embraced shared medical appointments. So, mm-hmm, for example, we're doing a Functioning for Life, which is a 10-week program focusing on lifestyle. We have a lot of our health coaching involved, mm-hmm, in that, and nutritionists. And the groups are great, from weight to diabetes to digestive diseases, mm-hmm, cognitive pain. And we also have a shared medical appointment with ketogenic, mm-hmm, doing it the functional medicine way. So, right, it's not like laden with a lot of butter and
dairy and whatnot. So it's a healthy version of the ketogenic diet. So that has just exploded. Then they also branched out 2016 to Chagrin Falls.
Okay.
And then as of January, we're also branched out to the other family health centers in Lakewood and in Avon. Mm-hmm. So there's been incredible demand for other departments to also get us involved and collaborate. Everything from geriatrics to digestive diseases, neurology within the Neurological Institute with brain health. So it just keeps coming and opening, and pain management. So there's a lot of people that are recognizing certain areas of functional medicine, how they could be so much beneficial for patients.
Yeah. And we were talking earlier before we started recording just about sort of what makes some people so open and receptive to functional medicine or to a new concept in medicine versus some people that are very resistant. And I know I've experienced this. I think back when the center first opened, I remember I was a med student and I would be nervous to even bring it up on, you know, rounds or with other residents or attendings because I didn't know which direction it was going to go and what their sort of gut reaction would be. And I think you find that there's certain, you found certain allies here. There are definitely certain people and departments that have been very receptive and want to collaborate and refer patients or do things. And then there's obviously others that are still kind of thinking it's this quote unquote woo woo thing or don't fully understand. And I think it's just such a tough thing. And I'm wondering how you navigate that or how you approach talking to someone else here at the clinic or in a meeting or someone who doesn't quite understand it or is opposed or doesn't quite understand the value of it. Mm-hmm. And how do you try to help them understand it and bring them around to being a little more open-minded?
I always come from the standpoint of that we're nutrition-based. Mm-hmm. And I think people are finally recognizing that how valuable nutrition is to our basic health. Mm-hmm. And then from there, explain, and then bringing in the whole lifestyle component. And people who are open are people who are also, I find, willing to look at new models of healthcare and new models of getting patients better. Because we were talking about like this medical home kind of model where that's what we're creating here. We have nutritionists and health coaches and behavior health, and we work together in collaboration. I can do a lot of that, but actually they're better at it than I am. So the nutritionist has even more information and the health coaches and the behavior health. So I think our collaboration just makes the patient that much better. And the touch points that we offer is getting the patient on the right path. And then eventually the patient can then start taking care of themselves because they have the tools and they know what they need to do. I think as we start doing more and more research, and a lot of it is the unknown. A lot of people don't know what it is. They don't understand what it is. So I usually always start with nutrition and that we're adjunctive care. We're not, there's always a feeling of threat that we're going to do something harmful to the patient, and we're not taking over necessarily the patient's care. I mean, there are definitely are some providers outside of the Cleveland Clinic that are doing primary care, functional medicine, and that's totally different than what we're doing. We're a consultative service here. And eventually the patients, like I had said, they actually do get better and they graduate and move on. And some people need a lot of touch points and other people don't need as many. It depends on where they're coming in and their actual medical condition, because some of them are actually very ill.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. That's another one of the parallels that I find between functional medicine and CrossFit, where there's, when it's so relatively unknown, there can be a lot of misconceptions where people, maybe they've heard about one aspect of it, or they've seen something about it or heard something from a friend, and it's not the whole picture and they don't have a full understanding. And then often it can have this very strong reactions one way or another when it comes up. But yes, it's always interesting, the things that I think we're lucky to have this viewpoint that, you know, we've gone through IFM training or we've seen the power that functional medicine can have in a patient's experience. And kind of once you see that, whether it's with a patient or I know we talked earlier about how a lot of providers have had their own personal experience, mm-hmm, and that's what kind of led them into functional medicine. But once you see that power, it's hard to ignore it.
Right.
And makes you want to kind of learn more and dig in. So.
And because you see people get better.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
especially the people who have been trying multiple different things that haven't been working, and then finally they're able to get better. It's
wonderful.
Really wonderful.
Or they have their aha moment.
Right.
Of, okay, now I know why. Mm-hmm. I've been having these problems, mm-hmm, and then they can actually sort of really address it themselves too. And they're willing to address a lot of the emotional aspects, mm-hmm, of their illness, not only the physical, but the emotional part. And mm-hmm, I think that's critical. And sometimes even as much as good as I thought I was an internist, you didn't have time. Mm-hmm. You didn't have time to dive into it.
Right. It's amazing, yeah, how powerful that can be, just the extra time.
Mm-hmm. And what we ask. So, mm-hmm, for example, it's almost like a 19-page questionnaire.
Yes.
Everything from what they were like before they were born, and mm-hmm, asking their mom and dad, and every childhood illness and antibiotics and stories, and really diving so much deeper, mm-hmm, into their medical history, because it actually explains why they are the, mm-hmm, way they are right today.
Right.
And to have them understand it. So it's not like this black box, that their healthcare actually makes sense of why they're feeling the way they are.
Mm-hmm. So, right. And things that you would never have time for maybe in a 60-minute first visit appointment, but that would still be pushing it. I think doing that homework ahead of time and having all that information that the patient fills, yes, out ahead of time is so helpful in using that living matrix. But it is, I think, so powerful. You know, one of the tools in functional medicine is this timeline, like you said, going from before birth, mm-hmm, until now. And I've seen patients, when you go through that and you put it up in front of them, it's that aha moment more often than not.
It's happened today. This patient looked at their whole thing and I said, could you figure out like a trigger? And yeah, they went, oh, that was it.
There it is.
That was my trigger. That's, yeah, exactly it. My father got ill, mm-hmm, with rheumatoid arthritis. Our whole family crashed. Mm-hmm. And she just went,
right,
like goosebumps, because she just went, that was it.
And then once, yeah, there's so much power just in having that moment.
Yeah, and knowledge. Mm-hmm. It's validation.
So you mentioned the research, and that I think is another huge part of moving this forward and helping it to be more accepted in, you know, the conventional, yeah, world. We talked a little bit about different types of research and how functional medicine is evidence-based, even though that's maybe one of the arguments that people will have against it, that it is evidence-based. It's not always based on huge randomized controlled trials. But what is some of the evidence that you are working on trying to generate here to study,
sure,
this?
Sure. So they have two randomized controlled trials right now. One, okay, is a diabetes and the other one is an asthma.
Okay.
And those are continuing on, mm-hmm, through the end of this year. It's funny you were talking about that in terms of, like, we know that there's evidence, mm-hmm, and, you know, for example, we know that there's evidence to use vitamin D, mm-hmm, for something, but there may not be evidence for a study that said functional medicine and vitamin D. And
right,
so I think that's what's a misconception with a lot of individuals and physicians. When they look at functional medicine, they want to see that word. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't see any.
No, there's a label.
Studies,
yeah,
yeah, that have the labeling of it. But we are doing another study, total cost of care, and that's going to, okay, be published probably in the next couple of months.
Oh, good.
And also we look at promise score. So that's going to be being published also.
Wow.
We have a study with Dr. Levy, in urology, and he's going to be looking at the genetic change within the cancer cells on a functional medicine-like program.
Okay.
And there's a couple of other, I'm trying to think if there's another. Oh, and then actually rheumatology, they did a retrospective chart review and actually did show, mm-hmm, the trend of functional medicine improving with like a rheumatoid and psoriatic type of arthritis. Okay. And they want to do a much larger study to actually show that. So there's been some real great things. It takes a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. Research, yeah, doesn't happen overnight.
Oh my goodness. But that's so exciting. And so it's so interesting too, what you say about, you know, a lot of these things have been studied independently, but now putting it all together into this sort of black box of functional medicine care and looking at how the bigger outcomes, things like cost and promise scores and,
yeah,
and is this actually making an impact on patients' quality of life?
And I think it's hard because functional medicine isn't just one,
right,
diet, one
supplement, right. one modality. It's a combination of many different things, and each person is so individualized that it is hard. But we are going to try to do another study looking at digestive diseases and something very similar, and try to be very like a dietary supplemental protocol.
Okay.
And we're going to do that approach also. So there's a lot of exciting things that we're looking at to show, because we see it on an individual basis, but we always, you know, the number of N1 isn't enough.
Right.
And we want to be able to really show it in a larger groups.
Right.
And actually, that's what our FFLs are showing, are functioning for life. Mm-hmm. Patients are doing better. Their promise scores are improving. Their A1C is improving. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the weight's coming down if they're there for that reason. So patients are just so ecstatic to be in the group. I just finished a ketogenic group, and they want to start their own Facebook page. And they're calling each other up to help each other. It's just a wonderful group. The dynamic of the group, I cannot
so
emphasize.
Powerful.
Yeah, it is so powerful. Yeah.
And it's true. I mean, can you just talk a little bit about that, like how the group works and what are some of the advantages that you found from the group visits versus the individual appointments?
So we always tell the patient that the visit happens right then and there with everyone. And if I'm thinking of a question, someone else is probably thinking the same thing. Or what we found is someone was a little bit more experienced, let's say, with doing ketogenic, and they were able to even teach the other person or share the best practice that they have found. And so all of a sudden people are learning from each other. And then they are all there for the same purpose and same reason. So it's not often you have in life 10 individuals all in one room, same purpose, same exact thing, especially with medicine. Because sometimes you're going through kind of sometimes with an illness of your own, and like your family members don't have it. And especially we have a lot of digestive diseases, Crohn's and IBD, and they're in a group together with other people. We had this one individual who was driving all the way from Indianapolis. Every week for 10 weeks, because he found a group of people that he could share with. They all shared their emails. They were going to share them afterwards because they did everything from recipes to, well, what have you done to help with this? And what have you done about that? And meditation and stress reduction is huge in this whole group. And they were helping each other with that.
That's
so
amazing.
I think it's great. It's I come so out of there so energized because the energy of individuals and groups are just wonderful.
It's amazing. We had started, we have just one group visit in our practice in family medicine for chronic pain. And I find it's the most, I walk out of that visit more energized than any other clinic day, because
it's just a great sharing.
And you honestly, as the physician in the room, I hardly say anything because the patients are helping each other way more than I could ever help them because, you know, who wants to hear about meditating and eating healthy from their doctor when they could hear about someone who's going through the exact same thing?
And did
them.
It and said, this is how I did it. That's exactly right.
Yeah. So that's amazing. Yeah. And I sat through several of the groups when I was here rotating, and it was the same, just seeing how the patients are able to help each other. It's really powerful.
I had one individual that he had been doing the keto, had already lost 100 pounds.
Oh my goodness.
And but he needed to lose more.
Yeah.
And so he had another male individual in the group who hadn't really gotten out to the diet part yet. Was learning, was taking the information in, and he was just like, oh, I don't know. Well, this individual, he gave him his phone number. He said, if you want to call me, call me. He called him up, and he just got him so motivated, started the diet. Literally within 3 days of starting it, he came in for his next week's appointment, and his attitude had turned 100 degrees.
That's
he was
amazing.
So enthusiastic, had a smile. He looked better. He said he just felt like a light. That's like for him, the aha moment or something happened, went on, and he was just like diving right into it. So it's so great. But it had to be someone in the group that was really motivating him and be there supporting them. So. Yeah, it's good.
And it's true. We talk so much about how important community and relationships are for our health. And in healthcare in general, we don't have, I mean, you have a relationship with your doctor, but there's, we're kind of missing that. And I think that's one of the beautiful things about group visits is it allows at least one place where you can build community or help people develop relationships.
And people who have never been through it, after they've gone through it, they're very enthusiastic. They just said, I wasn't sure what to expect and anticipate. And it actually gave them more than they even thought, because afterwards they just felt, oh my gosh, I could just be myself. I just talk about my health. And I can have a doctor there for almost an hour. Like, how often do you get to have a doctor for an hour?
Right.
Rarely.
Yeah, it's crazy. Every week. Yeah. And it gives you, I think, a great way to introduce things slowly versus, you know, where you have those touch points every single week versus seeing someone telling, you know, starting meditation and a diet and all these different things and then seeing them, you know, months later.
Julie, that is so important. Yeah. And we have heard people say that over and over and over again because there's almost information overload because they're only there for that time. And they get information from me and from the dietitian and from the health coach. Whereas this, you're right, they're given pieces small of information. Pieces. And if they aren't quite there the next week, they could ask. And then the following week, they could ask. Mm-hmm. And they know that they have that opportunity.
Right.
Yeah, that's so important.
So valuable.
We forget that what patients learn 10% of, here, 10% of what you tell them in a visit.
Right.
And
And we have them so infrequently normally in our practice. So, how do you think, you mentioned how functional medicine is a consultative service here. What do you think is the role for functional medicine on a larger scale in a primary care setting or in a more population health setting?
Sure. For example, I think the shared medical appointments would be so spot on with population health because you're taking care of a large group of people with similar chronic diseases and getting everyone healthy. And it's actually so many other positive things besides physical. It's the mental health that you're helping with. I think definitely functional medicine can be utilized in, I think, a primary care setting. You know, you have some patients who just want to feel better. And so just implementing lifestyle changes and having the tools to be able to do that. The more difficult patients with cardiovascular disease and diabetes, they also would benefit. So it's easy to marry the two of them. And time might be a constraint for some practices, but if you have enough support and be able to bring patients back in and maybe even have like more of your group so that a lot of the information you're talking about.
Right.
And we found that even with our FFLs, a lot of people, we call it the noise. We get the noise all out of the way after 10 weeks because they've taken care of themselves so that there's some tweaking that needs to be done, but it's not as intense, you know. So I definitely think, especially population health, utilizing this would be so wonderful.
Right. So you can think if, like you said, that noise, if you could get everyone at least to have some big rocks in place, like the nutrition and the sleep and the stress management and some basic movement to get those things in place, a majority of people are probably going to be feeling great at that point. And then there's that small percentage of people that will still need additional work or to look under, you know, different rocks and find what else might be contributing.
Totally. Because I was able to do that in my, because I did actually shared medical diabetic appointments when I was back at Dartmouth. And it was funny because that's when we first started doing population health. And they just said, well, come up with anything you want to like to take care of your patients. And I thought, anything? I said, sure. And it was so much fun. And I was able to start the shared medical appointments back then. So,
well, I hope they just continue to grow. I think they're so powerful.
I think they are. Yeah, they are so powerful. I think everyone has to really understand it and listen to so there's so many patients I said, can I like quote you what you've said, because your like your affidavit was just such an endorsement. I have one patient, you'll love it, the guy that was the keto group. So there's not a lot of supplements that they have, but a basic, you know, vitamin, maybe fish, whatever, you know, we had recommended. He got himself his own vacuum pack to put all his supplements for twice a day because he travels.
Oh, yeah. So he's
two
prepared.
Times a month, he sets them all up and he was showing me his like lunch and his breakfast packs he takes with him.
So organized.
And he was so organized. I said, you're so enthusiastic. He goes, I love this. Wow.
Oh, that's amazing.
It was great. Yeah.
That's so awesome.
It was fun.
You had mentioned, we talked a little bit about kind of leadership and now being at the Cleveland Clinic, and now you're in this role where you're interacting with other departments and kind of interfacing what are we doing here in functional medicine and how can we best collaborate? And what has that experience been like? What have been some of the challenges?
Sure.
Since you've been here?
So it's been, it's an educational component. It's, mm-hmm. it's interesting because I just presented to many leaders here and I said, you probably are a little confused on what's integrative. What's alternative? Yeah. What's complementary? What's functional medicine?
Let's actually answer that question because I think so many people have that.
And I kind of stepped through them. I said, it's almost like a Venn diagram where mm-hmm. there's such an overlap, but looked at it like, you know, an integrative does use some modalities, like they may refer to acupuncture, which also is like complementary. Mm-hmm. And then... but also there may be in complementary, you know, traditional Chinese mm-hmm. Medicine, whereas functional medicine is looking at more diet, lifestyle, root cause analysis, and environment and mm-hmm. genetics. So it's more, and it does tend to apply to more chronic disease management. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely overlap, but they don't all have the same exact discipline, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. And so part of, I feel like I'm still at the very beginning of trying to explain even who we are, because mm-hmm. some people have heard of us and some people have never heard of us. Mm-hmm. And then someone said, well, why haven't we heard of you?
Right.
You should be out there more. I said, well, I'm seeing patients.
We're trying. Yeah, we're doing right. all these things.
Yeah. And but the people who I think are not as receptive have been... I think misinformed, mm-hmm. and I think that's where we just have to keep getting the message out and mm-hmm. that we're here, number one, nutrition-based, mm-hmm. adjunctive care to regular care. I'm not going to take somebody off of biologic or mm-hmm. in rheumatology, and we want to work collaboratively with all the different mm-hmm. subspecialties that are here. And I think once they start having patients come through, and then they're coming back to mm-hmm. the subspecialties, especially, and even internal medicine and family medicine, they're getting good, positive results, mm-hmm. and the patient's getting better. And I kept on saying, I said, wait, your patient's A1C will get better. Their blood pressure will get better. It's only going to make your job easier.
Right. You're going to have to see them less often.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly. But if you have to have a medication taken off, check with your physician. I'm not going right. to take you off of your medication. So I think... The leaders are definitely are much more receptive mm-hmm. Because we were first just this startup, innovative mm-hmm. little practice right. that they didn't know what we were because we were just quiet.
Just figuring it out,
busy seeing patients. But now I think they're much more aware of who we are. We just did a CME mm-hmm. Educational conference on supplements, and that was very well received because people have misconceptions once again about supplements, and we don't push pills and mm-hmm. we don't keep people on pills forever. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, our dietitians are wonderful in being able to do the transfer and over mm-hmm. of, if I start someone on a probiotic and mm-hmm. now it's time for them to transition, what foods can they implement yes. that are going to give the same kind of natural right. Ingredients that you want. So it's a nice blend. It's mm-hmm. a nice blend. So because we're filling in where there's nutritional deficits mm-hmm. and then the body starts actually getting better.
Right.
People are very malnourished, even though they look normal. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But with real nutrients. Yeah,
exactly.
So true. But that's a great point about the supplements, because I think that is one of those misconceptions that people have. It's like, oh, I'm just going to get this huge list of supplements, or you're going to make my patients buy all these supplements, when, you know, it's not forever. They're very specifically chosen.
They're targeted.
For a targeted
correct.
Period of time. And I think we all believe that food is the best medicine, and mm-hmm. ultimately that's where we should be getting our nutrients from. But sometimes when people are in this sort of crisis mode, that can help in the short term.
Sure, definitely. And I keep on telling patients, like, this is for 3 months. This mm-hmm. is for 6 months. This is just for 1 month, and then mm-hmm. stop. So that they understand that it's not forever.
Right.
And they actually, little by little, they start realizing, okay, this is actually working. I had a patient today. She was so funny. She was like, you know what? This glutathione, I feel so much better taking it. And I looked at her because we were talking about her detoxification pathways and where mm-hmm. she needs help. And she noted right away she felt better. Mm-hmm. So it's funny, once you become more tuned with your body,
yes.
you probably saw that with CrossFit, like when yes. you're really in tune with your mm-hmm. tweaks and aches or whatever, or things that your body needs. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with nutrition. You know what feels good and what doesn't feel good in, mm-hmm. in your body.
Yes. And I want to bring it back just for 1 minute about the complementary alternative or
okay. yeah.
integrative functional. Because I think that's a point that people still are very confused about. And so I don't know the best kind of the way that you think about it. I like to think about it as, at least in terms of integrative and functional, mm-hmm. the names are a little confusing because in reality, functional medicine should integrate with all other medical care. And that's what I like about it is it takes the best of every type of medicine, mm-hmm. but it starts with the roots. But for me, functional medicine is more of a framework or just a way to approach the patient or the symptoms starting with those roots. Whereas at least in my experience, integrative medicine is often providing different types of treatments, to symptoms, but they're not, it doesn't seem to always look so far at the roots.
It's like the root cause. And they have different modalities mm-hmm. to figure out. Like they may address sleep, or if the patient has pain, it's going to mm-hmm. go to acupuncture. They may have some supplements. They don't spend as much, I don't think, time with the nutrition mm-hmm. part component. And then diving deeper, mm-hmm. yeah. They don't have the systems-based biology that, as you said, functional right, medicine is the framework of finding. Because when we find people have the clinical imbalances within the systems, mm-hmm. that's what we're trying to achieve, is getting balance back.
Mm-hmm. Which I kind of find, I've seen different analogies, but where you think about, okay, so for depression in a conventional medical setting, you might get an SSRI, and maybe in an integrative medical setting, you might get St. John's wort, or you might get, you know, I don't know if acupuncture is the best application mm-hmm. here, but you might get some other type of modality. Whereas in functional medicine, it's more about asking the question, why do you have these symptoms? Why do you have the depression, trying to address that? Well, in the meantime, you may also use an SSRI, or you may also use St. John's wort in the short mm-hmm. term mm-hmm. while you're trying to address those roots.
And look and see, is it the gut microbiome?
Right.
Yeah.
Is it right. You're looking all over.
Are they not, mm-hmm. not supplying enough nutrition for the neurotransmitters? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's still confusing.
It's amorphous, and it's not like you could just say, well, they have hypertension, you put them on a pill, and that's what I do in my right. hypertension clinic.
Right.
Get them to lose weight, maybe cut out salt. But whereas functional medicine is so intertwined with those clinical imbalances right. between the immune system, our detoxification system, our hormonal, mm-hmm. our digestive system, the mitochondria. So we're looking at all the different mm-hmm. systems of the body, the biological systems, right. and trying to achieve the best balance within each of them. Because not everybody has the same imbalance.
Right.
That's what's so much challenging.
Right. Is someone who has the same symptom, but completely different underlying imbalances. Or you may have this one underlying imbalance that's causing six different symptoms.
That's exactly right.
And you have to, that's part of the fun of functional medicine, I think.
It's actually detective work.
It is.
You have to really
it is.
Ask the right questions and yes. get a framework of what's happened to that person to get them to this point right mm-hmm. now.
What's your favorite aspect about practicing functional medicine?
Probably working with the patients. Mm-hmm. That is the best. When they're telling you their symptoms and they are feeling so bad, and no one's been able to help them. Mm-hmm. And you're listening to their whole story, and all of a sudden, you get it. Mm-hmm. You know exactly what happened, mm-hmm. why it happened, and how you can bring them forward. It's so rewarding mm-hmm. because for the first time, they're looking at you going, this doesn't sound like strange and right. odd. I'm like, no, it all makes sense.
And to give them some hope that
yes.
it's going to get better.
Oh, the hope part is the best because yeah. sometimes I don't want to say we're the last stop, mm-hmm. but sometimes we are. Sometimes we're the first mm-hmm. because they have heard mm-hmm. about it and they've been exposed, but some people haven't until they've reached enough roadblocks that they realize there has to be someone out there, someplace out there.
Mm-hmm.
And the good part is I think the Cleveland Clinic has great visibility. Mm-hmm. So it's allowed patients to be able to find us sooner
right.
than if we were in a very, very small little town somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What advice would you give to a patient who's interested in functional medicine or taking this approach?
A patient?
Yes. Like, someone who maybe is listening. Maybe they don't live in Cleveland.
Oh.
But they... You know, they're saying, hey, this makes a lot of sense. How should I try this for my own health?
So I probably would first have them try to seek out a functional mm-hmm. medicine practitioner in their town or, you know, you could go to the Institute of Functional Medicine and find mm-hmm. practitioners that are in your state. Mm-hmm. And then you can contact them that way because they have a whole listing of them. And ideally... But trying to find someone who's certified mm-hmm. because you know that at least they've gone through a certain amount of training mm-hmm. And they're applying the principles. That's what we're actually going to try to work with the Institute of Functional Medicine to try to create a standardization of okay. Applying and using functional medicine in the community, in the mm-hmm. practice, so that everybody is following a certain, mm-hmm. not the same guidelines, but mm-hmm. at least a guide.
Right, a little yeah. bit of a guide.
Yeah.
I think that's great. How about advice for practitioners who maybe are listening and they're interested, thinking about getting involved in functional medicine?
Then you have to.
If you're thinking about it, then you have no choice.
And the best part is to start with the Institute of Functional Medicine has a wonderful listing in their calendar of modules, and they have the 5-day AFMCP. Mm-hmm. They do it virtually, which I think is wonderful for practicing yes. physicians because you can do it on your off time. But you will just be so enthralled, and it'll be for the first time you'll just say, this totally makes sense. Because mm-hmm. I used to say this years ago when I would be seeing patients. I would just think, I know there's something else I could do, but I don't know
yes.
what it is I could help them with.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, all these answers were coming through, and sure enough, they were found through functional medicine. Mm-hmm. And I think there's many books out there. Mm-hmm. As I said, one day I want to write the book, Functional Medicine, the Cleveland Clinic Way.
Yes. Oh, that's great.
That would be fun. But I think they could come here. Mm-hmm. They could do a rotation here. Mm-hmm. They can do a site visit. They could stay for a month. We have many people from all over the world mm-hmm. who come here. You came as a resident.
Yes.
Yeah. And we have medical students. I have a medical student right now who's mm-hmm. Rotating through here. So I think it's great exposure if you can shadow and see someone. As a matter of fact, the Institute of Functional Medicine just initiated a mentoring program. Mm-hmm. So if you've gone through
yes,
some of your mm-hmm. Modules, but you need just more help doing mm-hmm. it in the clinic, mm-hmm. you can align yourself with a mentor. And that's a wonderful way to do it because we're such a new field, and it's mm-hmm. not like there's thousands and thousands and thousands of people who right. are certified. So I think that's a way for to have a touch base and to have guidance in
Definitely.
Doing the functional medicine.
I think about it like with my CrossFit analogies for people listening, the difference between following the CrossFit.com website and doing the workouts in your garage versus going into a CrossFit affiliate and seeing it done in practice. It's like once you spend some time in the clinic and you see how it's done day to day and you watch the patients go through, it's very eye-opening, and it makes so much sense to see it put into practice.
Oh yeah. And we've got such a great setup here.
Oh my gosh, it's amazing.
it's ideal.
I've not seen collaboration like this anywhere else. It's so great. The way that everyone works together, and you really do have a whole team approach.
Oh, it's wonderful. I mean, I rely on the nutritionists. I rely mm-hmm. on the health coaches and the behavior therapists because I need the help.
Yes.
I need the help for my patients. It's wonderful.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's great.
What is your vision for the Center for Functional Medicine? Maybe in the next, we're coming up on 5 years, so the next 5 years.
I see more research coming out of here. Ideally, I want a fellowship.
Mm.
And so we're trying, getting applications mm-hmm. forward for that and getting that to be part of the training so that, you know, you can, and that would be part of going through the whole Institute of Functional Medicine training and mm-hmm. you come out with being certified. And bringing functional medicine to more academic institutions. We're looking at mm-hmm. Abu Dhabi, but I'd love to get us in Florida. Toronto, we have a relationship there. But I think there's so many Cleveland Clinic sites mm-hmm. that I could see us helping other specialists, especially yes. family medicine internists, incorporating this into their practice. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see more of these FFLs out in the community.
Yes.
At the community based. And even we're talked about, you don't necessarily need a physician all the time running them. Mm-hmm. Like maybe we could start having more peers teaching it mm-hmm. and having it reach and touch more lives. Because that's sort of kind of like what the Daniel Plan did. Mm-hmm. It was the parishioners that were right. teaching each other. So I see definitely continuing. I've started teaching in the medical school, being a more integral part of it.
Okay.
I think it would be lovely yeah. because I think the younger generation is so much more open.
So much more.
And they see the benefit of things. Mm-hmm. And that's where I see the changes occurring, I think, much more. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Quickly. What are some of the ways you've been involved in the medical school?
So we've been able to teach nutrition-focused physical exam last year, and this year
awesome.
It was teaching more of vitamins and minerals.
Okay.
And so part of that was to help them because mm-hmm. they're going to be taking their boards.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's the nutrition that you get asked about on your boards.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's going to be helpful, but try to bring it in present yes. day. And it was yes. interesting because I was even able to talk to some of the medical students about, you may hear about Wernicke-Korsakoff, but I've seen it and you will see it one day. So it's a real, it's a real phenomenon.
It, yeah.
yeah. Think of, always put that in the back of your head about different, you know, disease states. I said, I even mm-hmm. saw a ballerina in Boston and she was an anorexic mm-hmm. and she had pyridoxine deficiency and she was wheelchair bound
wow.
because of the damage to her peripheral nervous system and her nerves. And wow. people, we don't think about this mm-hmm. because we think it's third world
right.
problems in terms of vitamin deficiencies. But nowadays people
still
are.
Yeah.
yeah. So anyway, so that's part okay. of the teaching that we're doing there. And then the medical students, having them come here and mm-hmm. do rotations here would be wonderful.
Mm-hmm. That would be amazing.
And also I think we're getting ourselves involved more, hopefully with the curriculum with the primary care residency program.
Okay.
Through
yes Ohio University
mm-hmm. yeah, so that the residents also will have sort of like a thread mm-hmm. of both integrative I believe and functional medicine
okay.
so that will be fun.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
very good,
because then if they know it then they could spread the word and
right.
then it's sort of a domino effect.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, I'm very excited for all of this. I wanted to finish with three questions that I ask everyone on the podcast. So the first one is three things that you do on a regular basis that have the biggest positive impact on your health.
So the first is sleep. Mm-hmm. I need my sleep. And actually, when you were laughing about me in residency and having children mm-hmm. in medical school, I basically slept 8 hours a day. And
yeah.
I have always, unless I was
I'm
up all night.
I'm the same way. I need the sleep.
I love my sleep.
I prioritize it over
yep.
everything
Yeah, that's
else.
One. And so the other is, as far as nutrition, I love my some type of shake in the morning, mm-hmm. no matter what it is. I change it up because I
okay.
get bored.
Do you have favorite ingredients or?
Always some type of berry, either a blueberry, strawberry,
okay.
Either an almond butter or MCT oil. Mm-hmm. And then now I'm in acai berry, you know,
oh,
so I'm always
nice.
Adding like dip powder, different things.
Yes.
So it's greens. I always throw something green in there.
Yes.
It looked disgusting. And my husband can't believe I drink it, but
it's such a good way to start the day.
It's
get
great.
So many nutrients right off
that's
the bat.
That's two. And then the third is trying to get some exercise. Mm-hmm. And that's probably the biggest challenge.
Yeah.
Now that I'm working at this capacity. So that's my goal. Try to every day get something in.
Yes.
I'm gonna have to try CrossFit. I've never
yes.
done that.
Oh my
I know,
gosh.
I know.
You should come. We'll show you.
I know.
Do you have a favorite type of exercise or things that you do
I
regularly?
I love hiking.
Yes.
And you know, I have a 20-acre horse farm in New Hampshire. And there's lots of hills
yes.
and there's lots of fields. And I usually love hiking there. But here it'd be more yoga and just my walking,
yep.
as much walking as I can get
yep.
in. And then my weights at home.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. Not very exciting.
Oh, it's good. It's very exciting. I need to get back into yoga. I always feel better if I do it at least once a week.
Once a week. Yeah.
yeah.
Sometimes I'll
I've
just do
off.
Basic stuff like
mm-hmm.
downward facing dog. And
yes.
Just some stretching
just a couple
and whatnot.
Minutes. That's a good way
yeah.
to wake up. Yeah.
Just keep your body stretched.
I love it.
Yeah.
What about one thing? Maybe this is exercise. I don't know. But one thing that you're working on or that you haven't quite implemented yet that you think would have a big impact on your health?
probably cutting back on coffee.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been trying to mix it with some decaf. Yeah. So that's that's the one thing.
Yeah. Yes, I have my ups and downs with that as well.
And I love coffee. And then, you know, of course, I've had to read that article that helps with liver health. So I'm like, okay. So organic.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, so I'm mixing it up with a little decaf and rec.
That's good. That's good. All right. Last question is, what does a healthy life look like to you?
Healthy life is someone who's, I look at it like that your body and health doesn't get in the way of you living the life you want and doing the things that you want to do. Because some people feel like, well, they don't realize that whole thing of how bad they feel until they feel good.
Yes.
So if being able to like have the best, if let's say you're working, the highest level capacity that you can work at and have the energy and being able to be able to share things with people. And I've had so many patients over so many years that we forget some of the limitations that not being healthy can do to them and limit their living. And so I was part of this this obesity group that we were having, and one of the patients had said to me, I just want to be able to sit in a chair in a movie theater. And I went, oh my goodness. It's like you take it for granted certain things that you're doing, and you realize that that's just a basic thing about living. So you want to be able to live the fullest life you can physically and then mentally and emotionally.
I love that. Yeah. That's what it's all about. And it's so true that, and to appreciate that, I think, to have the gratitude for the little things that we can do because we are
able to,
and we're able to.
Yeah.
And I think, too, making, like, trying not to take it too far, because I think for some people, even once they start feeling healthy, can become so, almost go the other way, where they become so obsessed with doing perfect meditation and perfect exercise and perfect every single meal. And at that point, is that actually getting in the way of us enjoying our lives or living our lives? And so there is a balance.
So funny, we had this meditation expert come and talk with us, and she was like, I don't want you to be perfect at meditation. I want you to be as best as you can at life.
Yes.
And I love that. It was sort of like, okay, no, you don't have to like do your mantra so hard that you get a migraine. You're defeating the purpose. And I thought, good point. Good point.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Like, why are we doing all this anyways? It's so we can live our lives and be happy and healthy.
And your purpose on life. Like, bring it forward.
I love it. Well, perfect note to end on. Thank you so much. I really appreciate talking with you, and thank you for your leadership and the great example that you set. So
that's wonderful. Thanks, Julie. All right, bye.
Hey there. Thanks so much for tuning into this episode. I love wrapping up these episodes lately with some of my takeaways from my conversation with each of the guests. So for this episode, one of the first takeaways that I had was, as Dr. Bradley talked about, she always starts with the premise that food is medicine. In other words, start with the roots at the bottom of the functional medicine tree. The roots of the functional medicine tree are things like nutrition, activity, sleep, stress, and relationships. And if we focus on optimizing all of these factors first, oftentimes our symptoms will fall away. The second point that I took away was from our conversation about speaking with others who maybe oppose a new idea or concept. And whether it's CrossFit, functional medicine, or something else, oftentimes these feelings come from a lack of education and understanding. And so the best way we can help to bring people around to new ideas is through education. Having the right information better enables individuals to understand the advantages, disadvantages, and value of something new. Third, as Dr. Bradley suggests, if your symptoms aren't straightforward and conventional medicine isn't providing a solution, then a functional medicine approach may be helpful. But it doesn't have to be an either or. It should serve as a powerful adjunct to conventional care. And that's all I've got for you. I hope you had some great takeaways from this episode too. To make sure you never miss an episode and to receive exclusive content from me, head to my website, juliefouché.com, and subscribe to my email list. If you like what you heard, don't forget to subscribe and consider giving the podcast a 5-star rating on iTunes. Also, don't forget to share your stories. If you or someone you know has used lifestyle to overcome a serious health challenge, please send me an email at info@juliefouché.com. I'll choose some of these inspiring stories to share here on future episodes. Don't forget you can train with me through Beyond the Whiteboard by visiting trainwithjuliefouché.com. Thank you again so much for listening, and I'll catch you next time on Pursuing Health. Have you tried out Thrive Market yet? If not, you are definitely missing out. What are you waiting for? Thrive Market is an online marketplace on a mission to make healthy living easy and affordable for everyone. It allows you to shop for thousands of the best-selling non-GMO foods and natural products, always at 25 to 50% below retail prices. But as a Pursuing Health listener, you'll receive an additional 25% off your first purchase, plus a free 30-day trial if you visit www.thrivemarket.com/PH. My husband Danny and I shop for our staple grocery items using Thrive Market. Things like nut butters, cooking oils, snacks, dressings, coffee and tea, personal care products, eco-friendly cleaning supplies, and non-toxic beauty products. It has helped us to stay on track with our busy schedules during medical training, and we know all of their products are coming from a curated list that we can trust. So, no matter what you're looking for, whether it's paleo, vegan, ketogenic, gluten-free, non-GMO, fair trade certified, or any of 80 plus other types of products, you can easily find them on the Thrive Market platform at prices 25 to 50% below retail. Even better, these items are shipped straight to your doorstep, so you don't have to worry about the time or hassle of grocery shopping. Thrive Market's mission is to make healthy living easy and approachable to everyone, and this aligns perfectly with my own personal mission and that of Pursuing Health. Because it has been such a lifesaver for me, I wanted to share the benefits of Thrive Market with all of you, and they've responded with an amazing offer. So head to www.thrivemarket.com/PH to receive 25% off your first purchase plus a free 30-day trial. Again, this is on top of their already 25 to 50% below retail prices. So why not try it out and do your grocery shopping from home this week? I hope you can take advantage of this offer and enjoy their service as much as I have. Once again, that website is thrivemarket.com/PH to learn more. No discount code is necessary. Just shop around and the discount will be applied at checkout. This episode is brought to you by Siete Foods. You know when you meet a group of people who are just so genuine that you can't help but treat them like old friends or family? Well, that's how I felt when meeting the Garza family, the founders of Siete Foods. Siete Foods is a healthy Mexican-American food brand that makes grain-free and paleo-friendly tortillas, tortilla chips, quesos, and hot sauce. My husband and his family first met the Garzas at PaleoFX several years ago, and they had an instant connection and have kept in touch ever since. Maybe it's their powerful origin story that makes them so relatable. Veronica Garza was facing a series of major health challenges as a teenager. Her entire family of seven jumped on board to help. Together, they adopted a low-inflammation, grain-free diet. But as a Mexican-American family living in South Texas, they couldn't imagine life without tortillas. And it wasn't long before Veronica came up with a delicious solution and Siete Foods was born. After years of enjoying their delicious, grain-free, dairy-free, and paleo-friendly tortillas, tortilla chips, queso, and hot sauces, I finally had the chance to meet the Garzas in person, and they immediately made me feel like a member of the family. Their passion for making the world a healthier place is contagious, and their generosity spreads to everyone they touch. I'm so excited to have Siete Foods as a sponsor of this episode, and if you're not already a fan of their products, I promise that you will be as soon as you try them. They've provided an exclusive discount for Pursuing Health listeners. Just use code Julie when you check out on sietefoods.com to take advantage of their offer. Again, their website is sietefoods.com, SIETEFOODS.com, and you can use code Julie for 10% off your order.